This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ew! Third hour, taking it here to CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on this beautiful Tuesday here in New York City, although it's getting rather dark out there rather fast.
It's ominously dark.
Wow. I mean, that looks like the start of Gilligan's Island from like 1977, where they're in for a couple of rough hours out there. That looks really scary. Looks
it's almost like CBS Sports Network has a filter on the camera up there.
Hashtag no filter. Comedy Alive from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully. And mortgage confidently, so obviously we get to LeBron thoroughly here. LeBron James, by the way, we got a little side primer here, a little side dish for all the bad teams. During halftime, we'll find out about the... they'll do this before. Nice, they'll do this before. They used to do it during halftime. Now it's been before for a little bit, which is good. 25% chance Phoenix garners the top overall pick. 19.9% for Memphis. Dallas is right around 13 change, and then there's obviously a gradual decline after that. We almost forget, though, because it's been bounced around. The Cavaliers, if this holds true, Cavaliers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, based on the Nets pick, the Cavaliers obviously coming by way of the Celtics, Kyrie Irving, the Cavaliers, now this is not going to persuade LeBron James to stay. You know,
why
if
not?
They get the seventh pick and it's Wendell Carter or Bridges from Villanova, it's just not. But if he ever did leave, it could be a decent consolation prize if they got a little lucky and the ping-pong balls bounce their way. Obviously, the worse you are, it's weighted, so the more better chance you have.
Those numbers that we're seeing right there, those percentages, that's the percentage that they'll get the number one overall pick.
Number one,
so
yes.
So there is a...
correct.
So
number
there's a
one,
little
yes.
bit less than a 3% chance that the Cavaliers get the number one overall pick. Can you imagine?
There's 2.8, as you're looking at, if you watch this on the tube right now, but only 3.88% that they'll get top three. So forget about number one.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's basically a last-ditch, Hail Mary by a bad quarterback to a bad wide receiver in the snow.
Before we get into this conversation about LeBron and the Cavaliers
and wind
in game two and against the Boston Celtics up in Boston tonight at the Garden, do you think – you remember like the whole – oh, the Knicks got Ewing because of the weighted ball and
frozen platter.
Frozen, yeah, exactly.
Back in '85, when they would crank the wheel.
Do you think that there is a not a fear, because I think it's too strong of a word.
Go ahead.
LeBron can go do whatever he wants to do, anyways. Do you think there's a fear in the NBA that LeBron leaves and goes to the Western Conference that it just changes the balance of the game, and it would be bad for basketball?
I think there's an obvious awareness. I think that if you're asking me if I think that preemptively they're going to do something to maybe eradicate those fears and manipulate this, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Not with Ernst & Young there. Not with the way it's so secret. I mean, it's
true.
It is done on
the
up and up
got
these
a couple
days.
Of, didn't they get – they got the number one pick a couple years ago. A
couple
in
times
row.
In a row they got
that's what I mean. And so there was a little bit of that conspiracy theory going on.
Now, you know what? Sometimes you just get lucky.
It's happened. The
Sometimes
Orlando
you get lucky.
Magic, Sampton just told me this. The Orlando Magic had the lowest odds in history to get the number one overall pick in 1992 at 1.52 to get the number one overall pick. And they got it.
So, and it worked out all right.
It worked out all right.
That was the C-Webb one, right?
That was C-Webb. That's right. So maybe the Cavaliers get the number one overall pick with 2.8% and take whoever the number one pick is and says LeBron. I want to stay.
Yeah.
I want to deal with this guy.
1.7% chance something favorable happens for us tonight, for our team. Fitting odds. By the way, we'll get to LeBron in depth here, but I want to reset the poll question real quick. So after the number one seeded Rockets were beaten down a little bit at home and the fourth seeded Cavaliers got crushed in Boston on Sunday, in which team down 0-1 do you have the most confidence in? 83% say Cavaliers championship DNA. That's the reason. And the Rockets right now holding firm 17%. They're number one for a reason.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, there it is. That is your cue. Don't stop. Get started. Call us. Give us a buzz. 855-212-4227. Right now, we'll do caller 7, seventh day of the contest here on Tiki and Tierney to go see Def Leppard and Journey. Get going. 855-212-4CBS, and you'll win tickets to an upcoming concert and also entered into a drawing to win the grand prize, which is an all-expenses trip for two to beautiful San Francisco to see Def Leppard and Journey at AT&T Park on the water, the Embarcadero, in late September, September 21st. Brought to you by Live Nation and us, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. For complete concert rules, go to cbssportsradio.com/rules. So the first week we had Kansas, we had Ohio, we had Oregon, we had Arizona. And we had, what was the fifth one there? Was it, what was the fifth one? First, I mentioned four of the five.
No, I remember it was on Friday.
Yesterday was PA.
Yeah, but it was also on the eastern side. Now I'm forgetting.
Ohio. Yeah. Well, we had Topeka. We had Oregon. We had
Minnesota. Is the one you're missing.
Minnesota's the one we're missing. We had Ohio as well, so we'll see. Maybe we get a new state, get a different market. Good luck to you guys with that. All right, LeBron James. Listen. There's no doubt he's going to come out and he's going to play well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you run the risk, though? Because this, I think, is a very interesting challenge to his philosophy that he has deployed over and over and over to his benefit. And we all know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You get the other guys going, instill some confidence, bang down a couple of the shots, the other players. And that happens when he drives the paint and he kicks. He becomes almost, you know, a secondary option, certainly much more of a facilitator. And then when it's time to go for the throat, LeBron takes over, gets to the rim, knocks down threes, and the Cavaliers win.
Yep.
The only risk with that, if he does that and they don't go down,
yeah,
now he could be looking at a deficit with that supporting cast and that defense that they're going against might be a little bit too much to come back from.
That's the hard thing for LeBron here is that there's so many different looks that get thrown at him in game one by Brad Stevens and these Celtics who are very athletic. I mean, you talk about them being young, but they're also all extremely athletic, and they have a little bit of an attitude with Marcus Morris as well. So there's an X that they just haven't faced, an X factor that they haven't faced so far, even in that tough series against the Indiana Pacers, because as good as Victor Oladipo is and is going to be, I mean, he came up small in a couple big moments and big games. And you know, and if he scores five more points or knocks down four or five more baskets, they probably are advancing, the Pacers as opposed to the Cavaliers. Whereas the Boston Celtics, I mean, there's a lot of shooters. I mean, Marcus Morris jacks up a lot of shots, and you see him doing it often. Some nights he's ice cold, but other nights, if he's on and he's scoring, I mean, forget it. If he's playing well, and you got Rozier and then Tatum and Jaylen Brown playing as good as they are, it's hard to beat them. I don't care who you are if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so it raises the question about LeBron's philosophy that you're talking about. And we've seen it. And again, sometimes it works. A lot of times, though, BT, it doesn't. And so there needs to be a moment of expiration if I'm LeBron James or if I'm Ty Lue instructing LeBron James or collaborating, because I'm sure he doesn't tell him what to do. collaborating with LeBron James about this first quarter, because it's all in the first quarter, right? We saw this in game one. They were down 20-7 at one point in the first quarter. In the first quarter, if it gets to, I don't know, if there's five or six possessions where your philosophy isn't working, you just got to pull it down and take it over. Be a bull in a china shop and score and be the catalyst yourself and don't let anybody else, you know, try to work their way out of whatever's ailing them. Because this Boston Celtics team is just too good. They're not going to collapse upon themselves, even though they're young, and we keep saying that, and almost position it as a potential excuse for them, but it just hasn't happened. They don't collapse upon themselves. And so the only way to best a team like that is to be the beast, be the GOAT. If LeBron wants to be the GOAT, you got to be the GOAT.
Mm. Ooh, interesting.
Be the GOAT. We know he can do it.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of him wanting to do it.
No, not a matter of him wanting
to. He took 16 shots in game one. 16!
Yeah, I never question his want.
I don't either, but 16 shots?
Except there was that little episode when a former teammate, there was the rumbling about, remember, with his mom.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a little disengaged, and I don't blame him.
Nope.
But, you know, I look back at the early part when this game was still very much in the air,
yep.
All right? Al Horford makes a jump shot. Not to get too into the game, too nerdy, too, you know, play-by-play, but this is important here. It's 11-7, all right? Celtics are up 11-7. And from that point forward, J.R. Smith misses a 21-foot jump shot. Kevin Love misses a 27-foot three ball. J.R. Smith misses a two-point shot. J.R. Smith misses a 26-foot three. Kevin Love misses a jump shot. Tristan Thompson in the game. LeBron finally misses the shot. George Hill missed a 22-foot jump shot.
So there's six possessions that you've now said.
And LeBron took one shot.
Taken one.
And during that sequence, it went from 11-7 to from 25-9.
Yeah, agreed.
I hear you.
So how long of a time?
But it doesn't matter if those guys that missed the shots during that sequence, don't start making shots, they're not going to win anyway.
Yes, but...
You have to empower them, don't you think?
Yes, but if you're LeBron James and or the... Forget LeBron James. If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, if you're Ty Lue, don't you want to lose? If you're destined to lose because these guys aren't making shots, don't you want to lose putting your best foot forward? And that's LeBron James. It's no different than James Harden in the Houston Rockets against the Golden State Warriors. They're probably climbing an unclimbable hill right now trying to beat the Golden State Warriors. But if they're going to lose, you want James Harden with 15 assists. Well, no, and the 15 assists, that would mean those guys were knocking down shots, but they're not. Mm-hmm. You want James Harden dishing, or you want James Harden standing up at the top of the key, dribbling the ball into the hard court, passing it off, getting it back, and then shooting three-pointers himself and scoring 41? What do you want?
But I know the answer, but stylistically, it's not a great comparison.
I agree, but if you're going to lose,
what would make me feel better? Working under the premise that I have to lose.
Did you think that the Cavaliers were down 20, as you just mentioned, 25-9? Mm-hmm. Did you think they had a chance to come back and win the game?
It was over. Game was
100%.
Over. 100%. Not once did I feel like. Whereas conversely, last night with the Warriors, they were down a little bit early. I think it was 25-12. You're like, you're making a run anytime soon.
Yeah, third quarter's coming soon.
You just actually didn't even get that far. It's more like the last 5 minutes of the first quarter where it was 30-29 at the end of one. No, I thought it was over. But listen, you're also talking to a guy every day, me. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds odd to put it that way, but you're talking to somebody who thought the Raptors were going to win. Thought the Pacers were going to win.
I did too, though, at the Pacers.
I hear you, but it's not because of a lack of respect for LeBron. And I don't want to say it's a lack of respect for his teammates, but it's a lack of belief in their ability to deliver with frequency on this stage against, you know, good teams.
Yep.
Kyle Korver cannot get open.
Mm-mm.
He can't. Nah, he runs off screens all night.
Yeah.
But as we talked about yesterday, defensively, what they do is different from what they don't switch as much.
You're right.
Rozier's going to work you to the baseline, so he's not going to, as LeBron or whomever tries to turn the corner, as Rozier cuts him off, and it's a skill. It's really a skill. As he works hard to cut off the baseline, now it's not frenetic. It's not guys catching up and a half a step late trying to recover. And when you don't have that, you don't have open shots.
You're right.
And if the Cavaliers, forget about LeBron, the other guys, if they don't have open shots, they can't make them because they can't put it on the deck.
You're right.
I don't think the Cavaliers are going to win the series.
It's hard.
I just don't see how they do it.
It's hard to see it unless LeBron scores 40 and he does it early and he keeps them emotionally in the game because I don't think that this team is mentally weak.
I don't think so either.
Meaning the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I agree with that.
But down 25-9 and nothing's going down. Maybe J.R. Smith does because he'll just shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just
no
J.R.
conscience.
We know that from his days here in New York, and we've seen it obviously in the championship, even if it's just Eastern Conference championships run for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep.
He'll shoot them. He'll keep, but a lot of those guys won't.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Kevin Love starts to pass up a few.
Right, no doubt. And I love Kevin Love, but sometimes he shuts down.
But that's
and he reverts to he's all right. I know my shot's not going down. I'm not taking any, but I'm going to wipe the boards clean tonight, right? I'm going to do all the other things. And it's good, but it's not enough when you lose by 20.
Yeah. I think the other problem, too, is somebody like George Hill, who's had a really good career and played on good teams, but Hill and Hood and Clarkson, they don't have the equity in the bag. Like, J.R. Smith could, even if he's 2-for-9, J.R. Smith could keep letting it go.
Right. And he does.
And he does, but He has that internal license. He's just kind of wired that way. Maybe he's not the best example. But other guys that have...
But I know what you're saying.
You know, like, if you've been along for the ride, it's a lot easier to, you know, to...
Yeah, take that shot go to the huddle and people looking at you like,
yeah, exactly. To quell the fear and exactly, and that negative reaction from your teammates, be like, because they know we've been there, and he's made shots before. Those other guys, zero equity in their back pocket, in their back pocket.
So if they're not on, they're less likely
to keep letting it
to
go.
Keep letting it go.
And that's a problem because you become predictable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as great as LeBron is against a great defensive team, not a good one, not an average one, great one. That's hard to overcome. So let me ask you, honestly, you think the Celtics win the series, yes or no? Which way do you lean?
I got to see game two, but I'm saying I think the Cavs come back and win the series.
You think the Cavs win the series? D-Cell, what do you think?
I just as I said on Monday, I can't bet against LeBron.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if Boston wins the series.
Wow, Mike?
I'm not doubting Brad Stevens. I'm going to Celtics. Celtics in six.
Looks like it's 2-2. Mm-hmm. You know, let's break the tie. Dan Shaughnessy, who's out there. He's going to be there tonight. He was there on Sunday. Of course, great columnist for the Boston Globe. We'll talk to Dan coming up next. Get to this series and maybe even the Red Sox or Patriots questions, see what's happening on the Boston sports scene. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. It's gotten very wet very fast. It is dark outside, Teak, so I'm going to have to race to our cars, man. I'm not going to dodge the raindrops doing that. Maybe you'll have better luck running, but boy, it's gotten nasty outside. The whole Northeast is just ravaged. You look at, I was even looking like ahead Myrtle Beach, you know, we're going there in June, Myrtle Beach, and, you know, I mean, most of the eastern seaboard, the next week or so was nasty.
Yeah, it's rain. Been it raining. Crushed. Feels like it's been raining. We had a nice morning today, actually.
Oh, thanks. That was, how nice.
Thanks. Yeah. Rain everything else.
I mean, man, it's getting nasty out. All right. Let's get a little more into the series here. Dan Shaughnessy's been on the scene in Boston for a long time. Longtime columnist for the Globe, and he's back with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Dan, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. I'm on my porch. We do have some rolling thunder coming through, so you might hear it in real time.
That's okay. That's all right. Appreciate the update, man. Dan, I'm curious. Can you gauge the level of enthusiasm, or I should say more so confidence, the confidence meter before game one against the Cavaliers, and obviously the last day or so as people call talk radio, they obviously social media, what the columns are written about and the response to the comments section. Just how much more confident do you think Celtics fans are now after what happened game one?
Well, there's been a big boost off of game one, obviously, because, I mean, coming in, you know, the whole seeing what LeBron and the Cavs did to Toronto and just the Celtics, you know, how banged up they are, is undeniable, and you know they got pushed around in a big way by the Cavs last year. So I think there was a lot of anticipation going into that first game, and just to see the Celtics dominate from wire to wire was just impressive and kind of altering. And it just puts a lot on this thing tonight. I think this is really, you know, a lot of us are thinking that the team who wins this game wins the series tonight, just because if Boston can push them around again. And, you know, play up on them and just show off their weaknesses of being the older team and that kind of thing. It would really give people a boost here. But if Cleveland kind of asserts itself, I mean, we know what the Cavs did. They lost by 18 the first game to Indiana. They lost by like 30 in game six. And they routinely, when they see they're not going to win, they just kind of mail it in and that's that.
Yeah.
It's like in tennis, just tanking the match. So I think that, you know, folks are, you know, watching this one really closely tonight.
You know, it's interesting, Dan, given that tonight is the lottery. We're going to find out who's going to pick number one with the lottery. And I remember that last year when Danny Ainge was talking about, you know, trading out of his picks and doesn't matter if we go down. We know who we want to get. And they ended up taking Jason Tatum, who a lot of people didn't have on par with Markel Fultz and obviously Lonzo Ball. It's turned out that Jason Tatum is a hell of a player. And Danny Ainge is getting so many platitudes, as is Brad Stevens. But could anybody have foreseen how quickly he evolved into this really lights out player, and especially in the postseason? It's happening right before us.
None of us here certainly did. I don't watch college basketball like that, and those who did still had faults ahead of him, you know, consensus one and all that. So for Tatum to step in opening night and play through the year, and then, you know, have six straight 20 plus points games in the playoffs, and do what he did in game one here against the Cavs, he was. NBA ready from day one, which is hard to do, 1 year of college and stepping in at the age of 20, and has been that guy all year. So very NBA ready rookie, and you're seeing that there. And I think that for for all the, you know, surprise about the Celtics and the no-name team, and I think 3 or 4 years from now with Jaylen Brown and Tatum, they're going to say, well, we should have seen this coming because those guys were ready.
I totally agree. I totally agree with that. Dan Shaughnessy is with us here, columnist, Boston Globe. You know, Teak and I got into the conversation a few times whether or not the direction of this season maybe alters the trajectory of the Celtics roster and their plans moving forward pertaining directly to Kyrie Irving. It's incredibly unfair and just flat out stupid, I think, to say, well, you know, Kyrie left the Cavaliers. Look, they're back in the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. Kyrie got hurt. Look, the Celtics didn't need him either. That's short-sighted. That's actually ludicrous. But, you know, there is something to be said for maybe augmenting the roster in a different manner, knowing how you could play without Kyrie Irving and also the injury history. You think anything's changed at all with the decision makers? Anything, even if they haven't said it publicly, do you think that maybe that's crept into their mindset, or should it if you don't know that it has?
Certainly fans are talking about what you're saying there, and you know, whatever it is, I'm sure Danny knows what he wants to do, and that's already set, independent of what we're talking about here. But you know, standing back, I just have a hard time believing that they think they're better off without Kyrie Irving than with, and I'm not in on, oh, let's take Rozier instead of Irving. To me, that's ludicrous. What you say is true, Irving, you know, 25, 26-year-old guy with knee trouble and trouble in college, and, you know, that's never, it never goes away with most guys. We understand that. But we saw this guy for three quarters of the season. They were, you know, really good with him. He was the best player on the team, and the Cavs miss him dearly, and the Celtics do as well, despite it as great as they're playing. So I am not down with trying to go without him and make other moves. But Danny already knows what he's going to do, and it'll have nothing to do with what we're talking about here.
Good point. You never know. I mean, you don't, maybe he's piped into the show, Dan. Don't sell us short here, buddy. Come on. Break big things on the show, Dan. Is Kyrie, I know he's a good teammate, but now that he's been out of the mix for so long, is he still an asset? Like, do you sense that he kind of relishes helping accelerate the growth of the young players? Is he, because we know LeBron's like that. Is Kyrie the same way, or is he wired differently?
I hope so. And, you know, he's sitting there, you know, he knows everything there is to know about all the veterans on the Cleveland team, and he played with them for a long, long time, won a championship with them. So I would hope he's sharing that. I'm sure he is. And, you know, he's there on the bench every night and, you know, doesn't interact a lot with us. I understand that. It's probably not in his best interest to be out there out front talking about this. He's so close to both teams and really no upside for him. But he's there. I expect he's helping in whatever capacity he can, and I expect he knows a lot about the Cleveland team that they're facing.
It's Dan Shaughnessy with us. Of course, Dan, longtime columnist for the Boston Globe. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Dan, let me jump over to baseball real quick. Obviously, the Red Sox are having a fantastic start to the season, and Mookie Betts is having an MVP-quality start as well. But we just heard the news that coming out of Seattle with Robinson Cano and the performance-enhancing drugs, and I don't know if we've forgotten about it or felt like it has been eradicated from the sport, but I mean, should we believe athletes at this point when they say, you know, this was because some doctor prescribed this masking agent for whatever, high blood pressure? Should we believe athletes anymore?
I mean, everybody's forfeited that, you know, and I, you know, a lot of it goes to the players' associations and the pushback against testing, you can't, you know, it's not the individual's fault that we don't trust him anymore, but I trust no one. And I understand getting an edge, and I understand a lot of things there. But the explanations, it's always the same thing. You know, it's like Shawshank. It's not one innocent, you know, there's not one guilty man there.
Yeah.
So that's the deal.
How do you see, I was getting a little worried. I was getting a little worried as, you know, watching the Red Sox just start this season, just mashing and really start to get some early separation from the Yankees. And, you know, you don't want to react too much in April, but it was becoming so alarming. I was getting a little nervous here. Yankees obviously have stabilized things, and the Yankees are a flat-out powerhouse, as we know. You think both teams win 100? I mean, is it that kind of year where the Yankees go for 103 and the Red Sox 102 or vice versa? Both teams sustain this the rest of the summer, right?
Well, it looks like we're going to see a lot of wins out of those franchises, and I think, you know, what we've got now is the big caste system in baseball. The unfortunate, you know, flip side of what you're saying is there's probably going to be 4, 5, 6, 7 teams losing 100.
Wow.
That's not good for the game. And I see that as a more dramatic demonstration of what you're talking about. Boston, New York certainly have the ability to do that. And with as many teams, you know, with the race to the bottom, which appears to be true with what's happening with all those franchises, that's it just takes away from the game, takes away from the day in and day out competitive aspect of watching these games.
Some bad teams out there, man. Not going to debate you on that. Yeah. Some really bad teams. Dan, good chat. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you down the road. Dan Shaughnessy from the Globe. Thank you, pal.
Thanks very much.
Okay, there he is. There are some bad teams.
Yeah.
And you know what, Teak? It's going to get worse. As you start to get to like June, bullpens are exposed. Yeah. There's some bad teams.
The race at the bottom in baseball doesn't feel as important. I mean,
oh, you mean in terms of like the first? Well, because you know, there's no immediate gratification.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, even if you have the number one over, what was the kid's name?
This year? Yeah, that's in college now.
No, that was drafted this past. I can't remember his name. He's a dual two-way player.
Green.
Yeah, Green.
But he's not hitting anymore. Remember, they took that away from him last week. That came up on the show. He's just pitching. Tyler Green, is it?
Yeah, something like
Hunter Green.
Hunter Green. Yeah,
he was on the cover of SI. Yep. That great article.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There isn't. You don't. I mean, who knows when that kid's going to make it to the majors?
Actually, history says he won't. Yeah. I mean, history says that there's a decent chance that he might not.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just no immediate like the first overall pick in baseball does not inject anything into your season the next season.
No,
it just doesn't do
it.
Yeah,
he's just not. He's not visible.
No,
he's not there.
No. I mean, you could probably even go through the and we've done this in the past. You go through football, and it's you know the results are quite varied, but yeah. I think it's misrepresented how much that top pick actually fixes a team.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, though, you get the right guy, you're going to be good for a decade.
Right.
You get the right guy. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. Get to the blast. Also, a little more in tonight's game. We'll get some calls. We see you sitting there. Tell you who won as well. Day 7, Tiki and Tierney, Def Leppard, and Journey ticket giveaway. Axe update. Here he is right now. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO, whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. Get it all at geico.com. All right, we got our winner, Day 7, Tiki and Tierney, Journey, Def Leppard. Ticket giveaway, you ready? What state do you think we got today here, Teak? It's a new one.
What have we not had? Virginia?
40-plus states.
We haven't had Virginia
I'm not
going
to rip through all of them.
Let's say Texas.
Texas it is. They told you, right?
Of course I knew.
Steve Shelton. Attaboy, Steve-O. Congratulations to Steve Shelton from Amarillo, Texas. I told you I stayed in a hotel in Amarillo night. I did. I stayed there. And he won a couple of tickets to an upcoming Def Leppard and Journey concert. So listen again tomorrow and then the day after that. All week, Tiki and Tierney, Journey, Def Leppard. And we'll keep it, let's see. We got, okay. I was trying to figure something out. That's awesome, man. That is a great concert. Now, Mike, do me a favor. I was looking at this last night, but I don't recall what... Is it American Airlines? Because the winner gets to choose where they want to go. The grand prize, of course, we fly out to Vegas to San Francisco, give you a hotel, set you up AT&T. So Steve, he's in Amarillo, Texas. Now, there's a bunch of neighboring states, so in theory, he can go wherever he wants. Are they playing at American Airlines where the Mavericks play? I don't remember seeing that. I know they're not playing at AT&T. They're not playing where the Cowboys play. They're not hitting that venue. And I don't
that's
know.
That's a big, I mean, that's a huge.
Yeah, it's a big one. Well, you don't think the Journey, you don't think.
I don't know. That's a good question.
How many seats? 90-something?
It's 90, but it can be over 100 because it's on rails, you know.
That's true.
The seats are on rails, so they can make the space shorter.
That's
true. I don't know. That's a lot.
That might be, I mean, that's asking a lot to have, like, for the Stones to do that with frequency. So it's American Airlines? All right.
So they're doing American Airlines in Dallas, AT&T Center in San Antonio, not Jerry World.
We were just there.
And what about Toyota Center in Houston.
What about up in Oklahoma if he wants to go up there? Anything?
I don't see Oklahoma, New Mexico, Tennessee, Louisiana.
Go down to Mexico for the weekend. Be careful. But, I mean, you can go down to Mexico.
New Mexico.
Sorry. It did sound like you said Mexico.
I thought you said Mexico.
Oh, you know what? No, they are doing Tulsa, Oklahoma earlier, about 2 months early in July, Tulsa.
Okay. By the way, we're going to get to the blast here in a second. I just saw a crazy story. You ready for this? You know Lucas Glover, the golfer?
Yeah.
All right. So, Krista Glover, she's 38.
Wife.
She was arrested at a rented home in Ponte Vedra Beach this weekend. Remember, he was down there for the Players' Championship. After she allegedly verbally and physically attacked her husband and his mother.
What?
I guess this has been going on for a long time, and Lucas has kept this out of the news. But I guess she has a penchant for when he plays poorly, she berates him and gets physical. And just denigrates him with
know,
the P word. I mean, all sorts of things I would certainly wouldn't say on air, nor could I. Let's see. He played at the Players' Championship. He claims his wife regularly yells at him whenever he plays poorly. Mrs. Glover is said to have been drinking earlier that day and started the altercation in front of the two's younger children. That's terrible right there. They called the police. And then, let's see, he put out a tweet saying that it's a family issue. Can you please respect our privacy? Here's the actual police report, which you can find if you want. But there was, where was the line about, let's see, there was a line, here it is, Teak. She was charged with domestic battery and resisting arrest. And then, wow, visible cuts and lacerations. I mean, it looks like she went after him pretty hard. And he basically said that she does. He told the police
she does this
that
often.
She does this whenever I don't play well.
Wow!
I'm surprised he plays well at all. Yeah. I mean, with that kind of pressure.
I'm surprised he's still with her.
That kind of presence, man. Oh man, that is you don't see that too much. I mean, that's a prominent player. Lucas Glover won the U.S. Open. I would think that would have been 09 at Bethpage. Wow. Okay, you ready to blast away?
Yeah. Let's
go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. Jason Witten thinks that Dez will fit in well with the Packers. Is he a good fit for the Green Bay Packers? Is he a good fit?
They got some guys there already. Randall Cobb, Davante Adams is coming into his own. Geronimo Allison had a good run. Could he fit in there? I mean, maybe, but I doubt it. I think Dez is – I don't know if he'd fit into the versatility that's needed by Green Bay wide receivers.
Okay. I think there's 2 requirements for him to fit in anywhere. Number one, he's got to look in the mirror, reassess who he is, embrace the new role. Number two, I think it's certainly going to help him to go to a position, to a team with a quarterback who's got unquestioned juice card. So if he tells him to do this, he's going to do it. I kind of like it. I actually think it would make some sense here if he's willing to change his role a little bit and how he views himself. I'm okay with it. I'm not saying I give him a lot of money. I'm not saying he's going to catch, 10 touchdowns, but why not? All right, some believe that leagues, this is interesting, need to step up replay and officiating with new legalized sports betting. Do they? This is patently offensive. I mean, listen, there's nothing worse than a bad beat on a bad call. I mean, that is really hard to comprehend. It's tough to get through. However, nothing should be policed based on the potential kickback from the betting community for a bad call. That should be to the, and this is somebody, I like watching this stuff and whatever. This is about the integrity of sport. This is about this is about getting it right. Forget about the betting community. Get it right because it's your job to get it right.
The other side of this is perception. If the call is just blatantly wrong, it just creates this doubt in people's minds. Man, wow, that's surprising.
Can't control it.
They covered. Wow.
Yeah, but we get that anyway.
I know. So
we get that anyway.
So shouldn't, because now sports betting is going to be legal in some places. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we be paying more attention to it?
Listen, all right. The Raptors reportedly shopping DeMar DeRozan. They did this last summer. Mm-hmm. What's he worth here on the open market?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, he's making $28 million. It's hard to determine what value you'd get for him. But here's the thing. He's a good player. Mm-hmm. Like a really good player. And if you put him somewhere where they're not championship viable, so to speak, he'd be entertaining as hell.
Yep.
People would care. They'd go. They'd want to watch him. They'd feel like they finally have a shot. So what's that worth? I have no idea because it's hard to explain in basketball.
Yeah, I got you.
But I think he would be accepted somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as much as we roasted him for his no-show and the way he withered away during the big moments there, I think you nailed something important there. I think his value is more so on a bad team. Rather than a good team that's trying to become great, I think you put him on a terrible team that's trying to become competent.
Mm-hmm.
He plays a style that's appealing, gets to the rim, slight, just good body control,
right.
a fun style. And I think that he can elevate a moribund product and, along with 1 or 2 other players and give him, make him a 6 seed, make him a 5 seed, just, the Brooklyn Nets, the teams like that, even though I don't know that. The Nets, a team like that, maybe the Pistons, if they blow it up a little bit. Just get some people in the seats and win some games.
Yeah.
There's value in that.
Bonafide all-star.
Yeah. All right, so the Angels are now losing another pitcher to a UCL injury. This is the 6th time this has happened since 2014. How do you explain this? Well,
There's a couple things with their medical staff.
They believe in the platelet injection.
Yeah,
they believe
stem cells,
regeneration, try to kick the Tommy John surgery down the curb as far as you can.
And they believe in Masahiro Tanaka's philosophy.
True, exactly. Sometimes it's bad luck. Sometimes, you know, that is an inordinate amount of number, though. For one team since 2014, not guys in the minors. We're talking about guys playing prominent pitchers here. I'd like to know their methods.
Six guys in 4 years. That's a lot.
I'd like to know their methods. Like, in between starts, what do they do? Are they doing something that's different? Mm-hmm. Have they deviated from the template that has reasonably worked for most teams? And if they have, then they might need to change.
Yeah,
that.
The other side of this, you know, the workout regimen. You know, these guys obviously, because their pitchers are, their schedules are a little bit different. Are they working out in between, you know, the pitching staffs or pitching starts? And what are they doing that is tightening their UCLs and making them more susceptible? I don't know what the answer is.
Where's the camera?
That's what you got to. Sometimes that matters.
Where's that?
Right? You tighten up on something else lifting and you do your oblique or your shoulder.
Badge of honor right there.
It is.
This guy's the pro athlete. I got a scar, though.
Except for you on a pitcher.
That's true. All right. So this is kind of annoying. Knicks fan Ethan Hawke says that the team that he loves revoked the tickets because he was critical of the Knicks. All right, is this petty or fair for a team to do this? Go ahead.
It's petty. Of course it's petty. But, I mean, James Dolan can do whatever he wants.
But keep in mind, giving Ethan Hawke tickets.
All right.
Not ones that he's buying. They're hooking him up.
No, it definitely is
Celebrity
fair.
Celebrity row.
It definitely
you come,
is fair.
You sit in the front.
Definitely
right?
is fair.
Mike, I read that, right?
Is he buying these tickets?
I don't believe so. I believe
he's getting hooked up. Does he own season tickets that he purchased?
At first, he was getting them for free. Then they told him that they would charge him. But now they won't even let him go to games necessarily.
But what do you mean they won't let him go to games? That's not true.
They can't let him.
No, he can buy tickets separately, but he won't, like going through the team and all this stuff. They're just, like, not taking care of him.
Meaning going through the team for free tickets? I'm with the Knicks on that.
I agree.
I have a problem with that.
But I thought you meant that he had bought season tickets and they're like, we're taking back your purchased season tickets.
Listen, you can't come into my house and put your feet up in the front row and mix and mingle with everybody and then stick your middle finger at it. That you can't do. You can't do that.
I agree.
The Knicks generally do a lot of things that are petty. I actually agree with him on this one. Mm-hmm. If they are just cutting back the free tickets.
Right. Take his tickets, give them to me and BT.
That's right.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
No, never critical of the Knicks. Never. trust me, I don't want to be. No. All right, tonight, let's see here. LeBron.
38, 10, 16 rebounds.
Okay, so he gets his triple-dub, no surprise. The real question is, do his teammates do enough to get the win? And that's...
No, I think they still lose.
You think that they still lose, man? But wait, but you're telling me you never bet against LeBron? You send me all sorts of mixed signals.
I know.
You never bet against LeBron.
Then they go back home, they dominate.
And you think if they lose 0-2, you think they win the series?
Yeah.
No chance. If they lose tonight, there's no way they're going to win the series.
Nothing by LeBron.
Diesel, you feeling this? If they lose tonight, you still think that they win the series?
I'm taking the Cavs, but they have to win tonight.
Okay, I can get behind that.
They don't have to. They're not down 0-3 right now.
Literally, no, they don't have to. But, I mean, 0-2 deficit for a team with a bunch of retreads.
I'm calling right now. What? Cavs go down 0-2 and win 4 in a row.
Here's an idea. Why don't you church that up? Seriously, because then if you're right, we can make a promo out of it. So I'm going
to
lay out for 15 seconds.
I don't need to church that up.
Because trust me, that's going to be a lame promo. They're going to lose the first two games, then they're going to come back and win the series.
The Cavaliers will lose the first two. The Cavaliers will lose the first two, then they're winning 4 in a row. You heard it here. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay. I don't think we're going to hear that again, though, as a promo, because I don't think that's going to happen.
Until it does.
You're an ass.
Peter King, he's leaving Monday morning quarterback.
Oh, yeah, last week we saw the show.
I never pick up Sports Illustrated anymore.
I haven't
picked
it up in years.
It was sitting on my desk, and it's got...
But you have a desk?
Well, it's just a cube. Whatever.
Okay, I was going to say, it's not...
James Harden's on the front. I just picked it up. I'm like, what are they saying about James Harden, right? And I ended up falling on a story by the MMQB about Baker Mayfield. And it's really interesting how they came about deciding to draft him number one. So the GM, John Dorsey, they also had Elliot Wolf, who's Ron Wolf's at Green Bay, his son, and then McLuhan. They all independently evaluated all the quarterbacks in the draft. And Elliot Wolf had done it the season before. They weren't taking a quarterback, but they had done it the season before. All of them had Baker Mayfield as the best quarterback in his draft.
Oh.
You forget how good Peter King is. You really do.
Okay. See you tomorrow. Peace.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.